morning's lesson will be taken from Luke chapter 10, verses 8 through, or 9, I'm sorry, verse 8 through 16. Let's read these verses together. Luke chapter 10, verse 8. "And into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are therein. And say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the very dust of your city, which cleaveth on us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be ye sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works have been done in Tyre and Sidon, which had been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it should be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted to heaven, shalt be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me." Now, ministers of Christ, their mission, their message, their methods, and their motives is what these verses are all about. And this is the subject of the verses before us. And I want to say this at the outset of the lesson this morning and say it as clear as I know how. Whenever, doesn't matter when, but whenever, wherever, and to whomsoever our Lord and Savior is about to come in saving power, mercy, and grace, he will send a man to that place and to that person preaching the gospel of Christ. This is God's chosen method of grace, and he will not sway from it. He will not move away from it. Now turn with me and let me show you what I just said in the scriptures. Turn with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 17. These apostles always stated these facts about the ministry right at the outset of their epistles. Listen to this. James chapter 1 verse 17. He said, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above." It doesn't originate with us. It doesn't come from us. It doesn't come from this world. It comes from above. "And it cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom," now watch this, "is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth." How did that happen? God's sovereign will. "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, or for this reason, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." You see, it's not a matter, when folks are opposed to the necessity of gospel preaching, I go somewhere and I preach and I make that statement, and boy, they bow up. Well, that's not my experience. Blah, 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 and on it goes. Different things they say. They rebel against it as God's chosen means of salvation. And they start talking about me limiting God. You're limiting the power of God when you say it's necessary to hear a gospel preacher. No, sir, I'm not trying to limit God in anything. God has limited himself. God is unchangeable. There's no variableness with God. Not even a shadow of turning with God. And when God ordains something, that's the way it is. It never changes. There's no reason for it to change. There's no reason. God's all wise. He don't make mistakes and then learn from them the way we do. He declares the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel will stand. What counsel? The counsel that determines everything. Huh? You and I, Paul said in Ephesians 1, we gained an interest in these things, being predestinated according to him who worketh all things. Now listen, after the counsel of his own will. And of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. You reckon God's going to make an exception to that? Be all right with me if he did, but he's not. And he says that over and over and over. Here's another one. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Paul said he talks about Antichrist. He talks about men who would not receive the love of the truth. And then he says this. For this cause, God gave them over to believe a lie, to strong delusion, to believe a lie, and then be damned for believing it. God just left them alone. This what you want? Go ahead. Go ahead. Turned them over to themselves. Romans 1 said he gave them over to a reprobate mind. But he said, we're bound. 2 Thessalonians 2:13, we're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto, or for this cause, he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't share in his glory. What he's talking about here is we obtain the benefits of it. We obtain the knowledge of it. We understand what this glory is and who it's for. And then one more verse, if you will, to nail down this thing of gospel preaching. In 1 Corinthians 3:5, Paul said he's a steward of the grace of God. He's a steward of the gospel. And he goes down to verse 5 and he said, who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed. Now watch this. Even as the Lord gave to every man. Now does that sound like the Lord didn't provide the means of your hearing? No, it's exactly what he's saying. It's exactly what he's saying. All right, let's look at their mission. Gospel ministers, that's the subject of verses 8 through 16. What is the mission of every true gospel minister? We hear of missionaries. I really don't care for that term. Actually, the biblical term is evangelist. They're evangelists. And even pastors are told to do the work of an evangelist. Evangelists are those who go to a new group, like I'm going down here and preaching to this little group down in Lake Charles. And even though they've been gathered there, I'm doing the work of an evangelist. They have no pastor. But what is the mission of every true gospel minister? Well, first of all, to go where the Lord sends him. In Romans chapter 10, when he's talking about the necessity of hearing the gospel, he goes down and he said, and how shall they preach except they be sent? If they're called of God and they're ambassadors of God, then God sends them. They don't just sit and mull around together and say, I tell you what, you go to Africa, I'm going to go to France. No, that's not how it happens. God sends them. How shall they preach if they're not sent, if God don't send them? Men's attitudes will change when they discover that preachers are sent of God. Now, there's no in-between in this thing. You're either listening this morning to a man sent of God, or you're listening to an imposter. One or the other. There's no middle ground. No middle ground. And you have to make up your mind, and the only way you can know if I'm a man sent of God is the message I preach. Am I bringing his message? Does that message ring true to your heart? Does the Holy Spirit allow you to worship God when you hear what I say? Do you keep coming back with an appetite? That's how you know if a man's sent of God. And if they're not, then their words are no more than personal convictions and personal opinions and what the old writers called doctrinal persuasions. But when God sends a man, he equips that man, he reveals his son in him. That's what Paul said. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. Why? That I might preach him among the heathen. We have a clear message from God, and we can speak dogmatically because we know what we're talking about. We know what we're preaching. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. That's a pretty good statement. Pretty good statement. So what is the mission of gospel preachers? They go where the Lord sends them. And secondly, they go to serve God's interest in the souls of his elect. Let me show you that in our text. Luke chapter 10 and verse 9. He said, you go into this city, and this city receives you. Open arms. Somebody in that city comes out and says, we know that you're sent of God, and we want you to come into our house. You can stay here as long as you're here to minister in this place. You stay with us, and we'll feed you, and we'll take care of you. You don't worry about anything. You just bring the message. Bring the message that God sent you with. And he said, when you get there, verse 9, you heal the sick. Now watch this. That are therein. You don't go all over the place healing the sick. But you heal the sick that are therein. What you talking about? What's this therein talking about? Talking about where they're received. Where they're received. Where God's preachers are received and cared for, God gives divine healing. Not so much in body, though he does from time to time for this reason or that. But he's talking about a healing in their minds and hearts, the minds and hearts of his people. Those Pharisees looked down on Christ because of where he was. And you know what he says? The whole need not a physician, but the sick. The sick. He's the great physician. He alone can heal your infirmities. And I'm talking about infirmities of heart and infirmities of mind. In Isaiah 1:4, the Lord said, oh, sinful nation. Talking about Israel. A people laden with iniquity. A seed of evildoers. Children that are corruptors. They've forsaken the Lord. They've provoke the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They've gone away backward. Why should you be stricken anymore? You'll revolt more and more. The whole head sick and the whole heart faint, from the sole of the foot unto the head. There's no soundness in it, just wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They've not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Except Verse 9, Isaiah 1, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should be like Sodom and should have been like unto Gomorrah. God had a remnant. And there he sent his man, and he healed their infirmities. God said, now come, let us reason together. Though your sins be like scarlet, he said, I'll make them white as snow. I'll make them white as snow. That's the kind of healing that he's talking about. And God has a people out there, and he's ready to heal their infirmities. And the means have already been ordained, called, and sent. They're already in place. And they will be recognized, these ministers, when they come, they'll be recognized as his ambassadors are received. And as they're cared for. And then the healing process begins. God's ministers are sent to minister to God's interest in the souls of his elect. And then thirdly, does God always send them where they shall be received? No. No. Not always. Luke chapter 10, verse 10. But into whatsoever city you enter, and they receive you not. You mean God's going to send them somewhere where they ain't going to be received? Yeah. Yeah, he will. Been there and done that. It's not a pleasant experience either. But he said, you just go your ways. And you go out into the streets. And you tell them you ain't even going to take the dust from their city with you. You're going to shake it off as a testimony against them. But now watch this. The same thing that was true of that city. What did he say of that city where they received? He said, you tell them the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. Well, what does he tell them when they're over there shaking the dust off their feet and they wouldn't receive them? The same thing. You know this for sure. The kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. He tells them the same thing. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 3. Let me show you something over here. We're talking about gospel ministry. Sent of God, equipped of God. The Bible said, obey them which have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account, that they might do it with joy and not with grief. In Ezekiel 3:17, our Lord calls such men watchmen. Now look at this. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warneth the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood will I require from thy hand. Well, I tell you, that's a solemn statement. Paul did this at Antioch to the Jews in Acts 13:40. He said, beware therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. He warned them. He warned them. They were rebelling against his word. They wouldn't receive him willingly. They wouldn't rejoice in what he was saying. They got jealous over the multitudes. And Paul gave them warning. He gave them warning. And there's places we're sent that will not receive us or care for us. They have no interest in what we preach or what God sends us to do. They think preachers are on the shelf. I just get one anytime we want one. I was told that just a few years ago. I was told that. Oh, we know two or three men who'll come down here and pastor our church. And I said, well, you don't need me. You don't need me. I'll just go back where I come from. You go get that man. Go get him off the shelf. God preachers ain't on a shelf. If he intends to show you mercy and show you grace, he's going to send you a man. Send you a man. They have no interest in what we preach or what God sends us to do. And to all such, our Lord says, notwithstanding, be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. What is the kingdom of God? What's he talking about, the kingdom of God? You say to those who receive you, the kingdom of God come nigh unto you. You say to them that despise you, the kingdom of God come nigh unto you. What's he talking about? The kingdom of God. Well, it's the realm over which he's king. Over which he's king. It's such as submit to his rule. Has to do with his authority being established in the hearts of men. The kingdom, the Jews believed, would be established in the physical, like under David and Solomon, and they'd have boundaries, and they'd have cities, and they'd have rulers and governors and kings and all of this. It was a realm over which Israel claimed as a nation. It was established in the physical. But the kingdom of God, our Lord says, cometh not with observation. It comes and you don't even see it. Those people who rejected him, who wouldn't have anything to do with him, he said, the kingdom of God come. They're like, what? He's a madman. What in the world is he talking about, the kingdom of God come not? The means of God establishing his kingdom in your heart was right before your face. And you didn't want it. You didn't want it. They were looking for a man to rally the multitudes and defeat their enemies and bring the nation of Israel back to its former state of glory. But in Luke 17:20, it says it comes not with observation. And in verse 21 of that chapter, he said, the kingdom of God is within you. It's within you. You remember Pilate looked at Christ and he said, are you a king? Are you a king? And he said, well, that's what you're saying. That's what you're saying. The kingdom of God is within us, and the reign of God in his church is a reign of grace. Romans 5:21, listen to this. That as sin hath reigned unto death. How does sin reign unto death? It reigns in your nature. It reigns in your mind. And it reigns in your heart. That's all you can think about. All you can think about. Even so, he said, might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. How does it reign? It reigns in the head. And it reigns in the heart. The kingdom of God is within you. Within you. The way this kingdom is established is through the preaching of the gospel. Listen to this, Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Who's your king? Ain't that what he's saying? Who's your king? You serving one or the other. You serving one or the other. Oh, but he said in verse 17, God be thanked, you were the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart, what? That form of doctrine which was delivered you, oh my soul. God sent somebody to tell you the truth. And you believed him. And God set you free. He set you free. Being then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. How are we made free from sin? Well, we're made free from the penalty of it. Free from the penalty of it. Your sins and iniquities, God said, I will remember no more. You're free from the penalty. We're free from the power of it. Sin's power is in deception. It's in deception. We're deceived. He said there's coming a time when you think you do God a service when you kill one of his servants. That's how sin works. It deceives men. And sin's real power is in the mind and heart. And that's where the ruling power is exercised. It's kept there, our Lord said, by a strong man armed. What's he armed with? Lies. He's armed with lies. Try to tell the truth to an Arminian, to a man with a false profession of faith, another Jesus and another gospel by another spirit. Try to talk to him, see what he does. He'll start throwing lies out at you just because he don't know the truth. He's a strong man armed, and he's armed with lies and falsehood. Strong delusion. But he said when a stronger than he comes upon him, he takes from him all his armor. He takes all his lies, all his deceit. He takes it away from him. How does he do that? He shows him the truth. Shows him the truth. And the kingdom of God comes nigh unto you every time God's servant brings his gospel to you. And then lastly, I want us to take heed to the outcome, or at least be warned. He tells us concerning such places as will not receive God's ministers that it'll be more tolerable for them in the day of judgment. Be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for them in the day of judgment. You think religion is a step up? It's a step down. It's a step down. He tells us that had these ancient cities heard what they heard and saw what they saw, they had a great while ago repented in sackcloth and ashes. And then he tells them this, and I'll close with this. He that heareth you, heareth me. Well, I just wait on the Lord to speak. He has. If I'm his servant, he said everything to you he's going to say. If God speaks, he'll speak to his servant. Just as he spoke to his son, he'll speak to the servants of his son, these ministers. And that's what the Lord tells them. And really and truly, they don't despise you. They despise him that sent you. And he said, he that despiseth me despiseth him that sent me. You hate God. That's why you won't receive it. All right, thank you.